Folks, I want you to take your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3. I've been preaching a series called InstaFam. I'll continue next week. The message next week, I believe, will be the most helpful message of all the messages. And you want to be here and be a part of it. Now, there was no record in the Bible of the great apostle Paul ever being married. Some people teach that. There's no record that Paul was ever married. But Peter was married. The man writing to us today. And the reason why we know that is Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Remember that? Sure did. That's why Peter denied the Lord. But anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter can speak to us about marriage and about family life and from the Word of God. Notice what it says. It says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, may without the word, be won by the conversations of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel." I've had preachers preach that the Bible teaches that it's wrong for ladies to plait their hair. It's wrong for ladies to wear gold. Well, if it is, it's wrong for them to wear clothes. Amen? That's not what the Scripture's teaching. Verse 4 shows us what it's teaching. "But it, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Verse 7 says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I want to talk to you about the wife that every man is searching for. The wife that every man is searching for. I ran across 5 rules for a man to have a happy life. Men, if you're writing down, you might want to write this down. 5 rules for a man to have a happy life. It says it's important to have a woman who helps at home, who cooks from time to time, cleans up, and has a job. That's good. 2, it's important to have a woman who can make you laugh. That's so true. 3, it's important to have a woman who you can trust and who doesn't lie to you. That's exactly right. 4, it's important to have a woman who is affectionate and who likes to be with you. 5, it's very, very important that these 4 women do not know each other. Well, the secret's not 4 women. The secret is one woman. The secret is one woman in becoming the woman that she needs to be under the hand of Almighty God. See, men, I realize something. We need wives. We need wives. I'm grateful I'm married. And I'm grateful I'm married because I found out some interesting information. I found out that there's more single men in the state prison and in state hospitals than married men. So you need to get married. It will keep you out of prison, out of the state hospitals. Zig Ziglar, I used to love to hear old Zig speak from Yazoo City, Mississippi. And Zig said he got on a plane one time and he looked down and a guy had a wedding ring on. But he looked down and he said, "You've got your wedding band on the wrong finger." And the guy said, "Yes, because I married the wrong woman." Now, how can we be the wife? How can we be the wife that every husband wants? You say, "But Pastor, if my husband would just do this." No, that's the problem right there, folks. We're always concentrating on somebody else. We're always concentrating on somebody else. See, folks, the only person who can straighten anybody out is the mortician, but by then it's too late. Amen? So what we need to do is concentrate on ourselves. I promise you that. I need to concentrate on me. You need to concentrate on you. People often say to me, "I'd come to church if it wasn't for all the hypocrites." I say, "Come on down. One more won't hurt anything." Amen? We don't need to concentrate on anybody else. We need to concentrate on ourselves. So what I want you to do is concentrate on you today. What are the qualities? Now, you know, Steve Harvey's a great theologian. don't need to be hosting beauty pageants, but he's a great theologian. Steve Harvey said that men want three things. He said they want support. He said they want loyalty. And they want sex. I don't know about that, but here's what I know. We have a wonderful example of what a wife should be. We have a wonderful example of what a wife should be in the Word of God. And her name's Sarah. You know what? You know what's so encouraging, folks? The best of men are men at best. And the best of women are women at best. There's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. I mean, let me tell you something, folks. Everybody who's wonderful, everybody who's great, you know them at a distance. When you get up real close, you realize they've just got feet of clay too. Amen? Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's been so many times I met my hero and wished I hadn't of. They're just men. They're just women. Now, this lady, Sarah, she was just a woman. She had faults too, by the way, ladies. So I don't want you to think, hey, I've got some faults and I can never measure up to her. She had some faults too. She was 75 years old and God said, I'm going to give you a baby. And she got impatient. And when she got 86, she pulled her husband in. She said, Abram, come on in, boy. I mean, listen, he lived under petticoat government. I know he did. She said, come on in. She said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I've got a maid. Her name is Hagar. And I want you and her to spend some time together. Yes, I want you all to merge. I want you all to spend some time together and have a baby. And old Abraham said, sounds like the Lord's will to me. But it wasn't the Lord's will, and you know that. So she had feet of clay too. But the scripture talks about how she developed and how she came into the woman that God really wanted her to be. And there's five things I want you to see in her that are imperative, ladies, to you becoming the woman you need to be. Just like last week, we talked about these men. And today, we're going to talk about the women from the Bible, folks, just from the Bible. I want to see five things. Number one, I want you to see her subjection. Look what the scripture says. Verse 1, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Paraphrase that, Pastor. It basically says this, for women to be in subjection to their husband, whether he's lost or whether he's saved. Somebody said, I want you to understand something. If you're a Christian, it's not God's will for you to date a non-Christian. If you're a Christian, it's not God's will for you to date a non-Christian. I don't believe in this missionary dating. It's not biblical. But wait, if you're married to a non-Christian, it's God's will for you to stay and try to win him or her to Christ. That's the will of God. And that's what the scripture teaches, that through your spirit, through that lady's spirit. See, this is what I've learned after preaching all these years. You can preach for the husband to love the wife, and people will say, yes, yes, yes. You can preach for the children to obey the parents, and they'll say, yes, yes, yes. You can preach, parents, train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they'll say, yes, yes, yes. But you can teach for wives to submit to their husbands. No, no, no. Because we never really understand it. And I'm going to take some time next week to explain it. But it's the biblical foundation of how God set up the home. It never means, I'm not in fear. We've got judges attend the church here, and I'm grateful for all the judges that attend the church here. I've got a good friend, the sheriff back here. He attends the church here, and just one of a dear friend of mine. But see, I'm not in fear to the sheriff. I'm not in fear to the judge. We got different functions. And that's what I say to ladies. You're not in fear to your husband. Your husband's not superior to you. You just got a different function. Look what Galatians 3:28 says. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know what that teaches us, folks? It teaches us that ladies are not inferior to men. They've just got a different function. See, folks, if we really believe that verse right there, if we really believe that verse right there, ladies in America wouldn't make 76 cents doing the same job that a man makes a dollar doing. Because that's unscriptural and that's unbiblical. And while I'm talking about this, by the way, folks, this deal about only men are called to ministry and only men, God works only through men, that's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. Get real. God used a rooster to preach. God used a donkey to preach. God can use anybody. Sure He can. I know women that can out-preach me on my best day. See, folks, you gotta understand something. This whole deal of submission, you got to understand the spear. See, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. See, these ladies right here, we got to submit ourselves to the men across the aisle. There's nothing scriptural about that. It says submit yourself to your own husband, not to all men. See, my daughter's dating right now. She's in a period, you know, she's dated some guys, and God's never created one good enough for her. But you know what I tell her? You don't have to submit to them. No, you don't have to submit to him. There's nothing biblical that says you have to submit to him. He's not your husband. But if you marry him, you need to make sure you can submit to him as the spiritual leader of the home. Because that's what the scripture teaches, by the way. It's quiet in this Episcopalian church. Let me tell you something. And then what's the scope? What's the scope of submission? Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than men. You said, Pastor Benny, am I submit to my husband? Yes, but not if he's trying to get you to do something illegal. Not if he's trying to get you to do something unethical. Not if he's trying to get you to do something immoral. See, the first step I want you to see is her submission. And by the way, and I'm going to move to point number two. But ladies, when the Bible says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You can't do that outside of Ephesians 5:18. That says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. But it's the biblical role, it's the biblical foundation of the home for that man to be the spiritual leader. And I'm going to take some time next week talking to you about how you can work together to make that a reality and how it takes both working together for you to have a kingdom marriage. Whatever you do, I believe the best message of the series I'll preach next week. Number two, not only her submission, but I want you to see her surface. Her surface. And this will be a quick point because I can get in trouble here quickly. But look what 1 Peter 3:3 says. Do not let your adornment, don't let your adornment be merely outward. But do you get that, folks? Merely outward. Men are motivated by sight. The surface is important. Sarah understood this. Look what Genesis 12:11 says. It says, she was a beautiful woman. She understood that surface was important. Now, I know I'm on thin ice. A recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than men who mention it. I'm moving. But see, this word adorning comes from the word, Greek word, cosmos. We get the word cosmetic. Cosmetic. You said, Brad, is it, you know, you preached all this, is it sin for a woman to wear makeup? Folks, it ought to be sin for some not to. Here's what I want to say and I'll move. Ladies, listen to me. It's biblical for a woman to take pride in herself, not for everybody else, but for her husband. You see, when you marry her, and man, she looked like Wonder Woman. And you say, now, Pastor, when I see her, I wonder if she's a woman. See, folks, It's biblical for a woman to take pride in herself and look good, not for every other man, but for her husband. I want to look good for him. I want to look good for my husband. And it's good for that husband to say, I want to look good for my wife. I love to tell the story about the guy that fell in love with the opera singer. And she could sing the phone book. She just had that voice. And he marries her. And they go on the honeymoon. And when they go on the honeymoon, she reaches and pulls the wig off. And she takes all the makeup off. And she takes the glass eye out. And she takes her teeth out. And she said, come on, honey. And he said, sing, woman, sing. Her submission, her surface, but get this, folks, her spirit. Her spirit, look what verse 4 says. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible. Wait. Everything that I just preached about is corruptible. Everything that I preached about is corruptible. I mean, get real, folks. I mean, we came here. I mean, we came here bald, no teeth, no bladder control, and that's how we're going out. I mean, get real. Life's like a bath. The longer you stay, the more wrinkles you get. Amen? But it's that inner spirit. It's that inner spirit that is so important. It's that inner spirit that so impacts a man. Ladies, let me tell you. You say, oh, Pastor Benny, I'm in the tanning bed. I'm doing all these things. I mean, that's fine. Just do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. I'm not against any of that. You know, I'm doing a tummy tuck. Do what you want to do. But I'm telling you, that's not where the impact is. The impact is what's inside. Let me tell you something. Young people, if you're dating, you better not just connect. You may initially be attracted, and that's fine. But you better not get all caught up on that arm candy. Young men, let me tell you something. You better, when you buy that vehicle, you better lift that hood up. You better lift that trunk up. Somebody say amen. Listen to me very closely. You better lift up the hood. You better lift up the trunk. There's more than just that sharp look. You better see something about that spirit. I'm moving. But let me tell you something. Sarah, when she was 65, Pharaoh said, he walked up to her and he said, are your feet tired? She said, no, why? He said, you've been running through my mind all night. When she was 90, Abimelech said, I want her. Get real, folks. Do you really think it was the body? No. Do you think it was the outer? It was what was inside. It was what's inside. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. There's something about a modest, godly spirit. Number 4, not only her spirit, but her service. Her service. Look, verse 6 says, look at verse 6. It says, Sarah obeyed Abraham. What's that word mean, obey? Is it a dictatorship, Brother Benny? Listen, any man who preaches that's taking the Bible out of context. It's nothing like that. The Bible never says for a husband to tell his wife to submit. The Bible just says for that husband to love her. God is the one who said to her to submit, not the husband. Obey. What does that mean? It means to pay close attention to. What's the wife do? Just pay close attention to him. Just pay close attention. That's his greatest need anyway. See, if you read Ephesians 5 and 33, his greatest need is that the wife reverence her husband or pay close attention to him. That's what he wants. See, Jesus submitted to God the Father. Get this down. They were equal. Jesus submitted to God the Father. And it gives the correlation for the wife submitting to the husband. Jesus submitted to God the Father and then just went around bragging on God the Father. Let me tell you something. When the wife submits to the husband and just brags and lifts the husband, he'll run through a wall for her. He'll run through a wall for her because that's what he's crying out for. It's her service. Somebody said, you show me a man who comes home greeted by a smile, encouraged to take his shoes off, sat on a pillow, arranged on the floor, served a delicious meal, and I'll show you a man who lives in a Japanese restaurant. I heard about one man who was very depressed, so depressed. He goes to the doctor. Doctor sees him, and after he examines the man, he says, can I see your wife? Pulls the wife in, says, your husband's very depressed. She said, what can we do? Said, I'm telling you, your husband's depressed to the point he can die. He could very easily die. The doc said, here's what you need to do. Prepare him a delicious breakfast every morning. Make sure it's delicious. Kiss him as he leaves for work. Pack him a nice lunch. When he hits that door after work, you meet him at the door with a rose in your mouth. You take his shoes off. You run his water, his bath water. After he gets out, you give him a massage. You make sure he's got a delicious meal. When it comes bedtime, you turn the covers back and make sure he has a wonderful evening. She walks out of the office. The husband said, what'd the doctor say? She said, well, he said, you're going to die. Okay. You know what I would say, ladies? There was a young boy named Chad. Chad was a little awkward in school. Sad, all the bullying and things that takes place in school. Sometimes kids can be so cruel. Why do we think any of us are superior? Why do we think we're superior? Because somebody looks a different way or acts a different way or a different color or a different size? What's scriptural about any of that? Nothing, by the way. We shouldn't get pleasure from somebody's pain. Chad was a little awkward, but Chad told his mom, you know, he said, Mom, I want to make every child a Valentine. And he spent 3 weeks making Valentines for everybody in his class. And his mom said, you know, Chad probably won't get one. He probably won't get one Valentine. Nobody plays with Chad. And she said, I know he's coming home from this day, and I want to make him some chocolate chip cookies. I want to make him some comfort food because he made everybody a Valentine, and I know he won't get one. And she said Chad walked in the door, and she heard him say these words, no, not one. No, not one. And she said, my heart sank when I heard those words. And then Chad had a big smile and said, I didn't forget a single one. No, not one. And you know what? I think the secret to marriage is we serve our mate whether we get a Valentine or not. We serve whether we get a Valentine or not. No, not one. Lastly, her speech. Look what the scripture says. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Years ago, I said we're going to have a radio ministry. And they said, what's your theme verse? And I said, this is my theme verse. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Death and life's in the power of the tongue, ladies. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Your words are so powerful in your husband's life. What you say is so powerful. Let me tell you a story. There was a lady, she's a Christian writer and speaker. Her name's Yvonne Turnbull. Yvonne was married to a guy named, is married to a guy named Bob. And one night, Bob washed the dishes. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not washing the dishes. Well, if Dawn washes off your macho, you probably need a hormone shot. He was washing the dishes. And after he finished, he kind of felt proud. And Yvonne said, Bob, you didn't wipe off the bar. And he said, you know, Yvonne, we've been married several years. And you notice everything I do wrong and nothing I do right. And she said, when he said those words, God spoke to my heart and said, Yvonne, you do notice what he does wrong. You're quick to get angry. But you never focus on what he does right. You spend all your time getting angry over what he does wrong. But you never commend him over what he does right. And she said, I knelt down and said, God, forgive me for that, and I want to do better. And she said, God gave me three words. Number one was think. She said, God said to me, you think of the good things about your husband. You think of the good things about your husband. Charles Lowry, who knows much more about marriage than I do, said that 85% of our marriage is good. He said it's the 15% that's bad, but we spend all of our time focusing on the 15%. He said 85% of it's good, but we spend all of our time focusing on the 15%. Many people get divorced over the 15%. I equate it to the story of Yogi Berra, one of my heroes. Yogi played left field for the Yankees. And it was during this time people were streaking. Streakers, some of you can remember it. They put bags on their heads and they streaked. And they did it at Yankee Stadium in front of Yogi at left field. And Yogi goes home. And his wife said, I saw those streakers on the news. They was right in front of you, Yogi, in left field. He said, yes. She said, Yogi, were they men or women? He said, I don't know. They had bags on their heads. It's an all issue. It's an issue of what you're focusing on. What you're focusing on. What you're focusing on. She said God gave her the word think. And then God gave her the word thank, T-H-A-N-K. And God said, why don't you thank me for the good things about him? Why don't you thank me for the good things about him? There's good things about your husband. You say, well, he don't make good decisions. He decided to marry you. Why don't you thank God for him? And then she said, the word came to her, why don't you tell? Why don't you tell him what he means to you? I mean, hey, folks, come up real close. Get up real close. Rather than telling Facebook, why don't you tell him or tell her? Yeah. Rather than telling Facebook, why don't we tell one another? That's a novel thought. Listen to me, folks. You get this close. If Barbara believes that I'm a good husband, and Savannah believes I'm a good daddy, I could care less what you think. I could care less what you think. That's all matters to me. Think. Think. Tell. I'll say this. Now, I've got, folks, if every service is different because I've got so much to share. I run out of time before I run out of sermon. You know, I think this, folks. For me to be what I need to be as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a man, God has to do a work in my life. And for a woman to be the wife, mother, whatever, God has to do a work in our lives, folks. God has to do a work. God has to break us, and God has to do a work in our life. Tony Evans, a great preacher, I tell you this, and I'm done. Tony Evans, a great preacher, said up to the time I was 10 years old, my home was hell. He said, my dad and mom hated each other. And he said, I knew mom and dad were going to get a divorce. But the great preacher Tony Evans said, my daddy got saved. And said, after my daddy got saved, my mama hated him more. But said, daddy was just calm. He was just cool. He was just collected. He was just consistent. He just loved mama. And after 1 year, she came to him and said, I don't know what you've got, but I want it. I don't know what you've got, but I want it. So men, here's where we're at. We can talk about submit, submit, submit. But I really believe if we love them like we should, it won't be an issue. No. And perhaps, ladies, if we'd submit to him, and I'll talk more about it next week, I've found it's not hard to submit to a loving husband. And it's not hard to love a submitting wife. It kind of goes hand in hand. Amen? It kind of goes hand in hand.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.